So 3 weeks ago, we talked about hungering for righteousness and our need as Christians to desire earnestly the things of God. And that in desiring the things of God and hungering after righteousness, God has promised us that we will be filled. And then 2 weeks ago, we talked about hungering for wisdom, that hungering for the things of God is going to necessarily lead us to seeking out his knowledge in the things that he has given to us, and in seeking out that knowledge that we would do it in a mature and a judicious and a sensitive and a loving way, so that we are then applying the things of God that we are earnestly desiring in a way that brings other people to Christ. And the end result of all of that, of you giving your life to a desire of the things of God and to a desire of God's wisdom, should be that we then hunger desperately to be with God for eternity. We have spent our entire lives desiring to be like him and wanting to be more in his image. And so it then necessarily extends out to us desiring to be with him. If I want to be like you, I want to be with you. If I really like the way that Gary dresses and the way that Gary lives his life, and I just, when he's around, I'm just happy and he tells good jokes, and I want to be like that and I want to emulate that, then I'm going to want to spend time with Gary and learn what he's like and learn his jokes and start to memorize them and write them down and say, ooh, that's a good one in that situation too. And that would be natural. If I said, oh, I love Gary and I really want to be like him, and you're like, oh, well, then what do you guys do together? And you're like, nothing, because I really don't want to, oh, he's kind of annoying to be around, but I want to be like him. That would make no sense at all. And so ultimately, even going at a more pragmatic, lower level than wanting to be with God, we all want stability and we want peace. And we want the confidence of knowing that tomorrow is going to be as good or better than today, and that the things that we experience in our lives going forward into the future are positive. In this passage in John, Jesus is talking about our eternal home with God, where we will have that stability and where we will have that comfort and that peace of knowing that eternity is in God's hands. So when we think about heaven, we all probably think about different things. For most of my life, I've kind of pictured an ethereal, kind of Roman-looking place with columns coming up out of clouds and floaty, glowy beings all around, and that was going to be heaven. Not because that's what I was excited about heaven being, but that's just kind of, when I thought of heaven, I thought of clouds and I thought of angels, and that's kind of what it looked like. Some kind of, you know, capital buildings in there. That was kind of my picture. But when we speak of heaven, we're not just talking about the sky and the place where stars and planets are. We're not talking about a state of mind. We are talking about a place where ultimately God is. And if you learn nothing else today and you leave with nothing else, please leave understanding that heaven is only heaven because God is there, and hell is hell because God's not there. And no matter what it is that you want heaven to be, and no matter what it is that you read in the Bible, the descriptions that you read, however figurative or actual they are, heaven is heaven because that's where God is and that's where we want to be as well. So the Bible tells us that heaven is a number of things. We find out that heaven is very glorious. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9, Paul writes, "No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him." So think about all the things that you've seen. Think about the most beautiful things that you've seen. Think about the most wonderful music you've heard, or if you think of like my voice preaching as something that you've heard that you've loved. Whatever you have thought of or seen or heard, that does not compare to what God has prepared for us. If you can think of it, that's not good enough. And I can think of some pretty amazing things. That's not good enough. In Revelation 21, John describes heaven as the holy city, Jerusalem. And he says that it shone with the glory of God, and its brilliance was like that of a very precious jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal. So heaven is a place that we can't even imagine the glory of. Heaven is also spacious. We're also told in Revelation that heaven is going to fit just innumerable numbers of Christians and people who have been serving God their entire lives, all the way back to the beginning of time and all the way out until God decides that everything's done. It's going to fit everyone. We're not going to be like sardined into heaven and God's like, I did not expect this many people to believe. I should have added an extra room. It's not going to be like that. It's not going to be like that even a little bit. Heaven is also a place. Heaven is not a state of mind. You're not going to die and then just kind of have a nirvana experience. Heaven, again and again and again in the Bible, is described as a place that you will be. Heaven is not only glorious and spacious and real, it's also safe. You're not going to lose once you get to heaven. You're there. We sang right during the Lord's Supper, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. That blessed assurance, that foretaste of glory divine is the knowledge that we have Christ eternally. Glory divine is going to be just awesome because we know that God is there and we know that we have Jesus. As awesome as faith in Christ is, and as great as faith can make us feel, and as confident as faith can make us feel, I cannot wait for the day that faith is just a thing of the past. And we see. And faith just fades away, and there is no more faith. I can't wait for that. Because we'll all see it. It'll be right there in front of us. There will be our Creator, there will be our Savior, there will be all of us, and hopefully many, many more. And we will all see. Heaven is also a place of rest. Super glad that Jade is here today. When you see Jade holding her beautiful child, you see peace and you see comfort. Hand her to Ezekiel, though, and you will see probably pain, because he won't know what to do. Or maybe even hand her to Jordan, and Jordan will be like, this is a baby, and just kind of, it's not natural. And what we all long for is to be in a place where we are completely comfortable, and we are completely natural, and we are completely at ease, and that is the kind of thing that you get when you are an infant in your parents' arms. And in fact, in Deuteronomy 33:27, we find out, Moses writes, the eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. God is perfect for you, and what God prepares for you is perfect to give you exactly the peace and the comfort and the rest that you need. There will be no people who fit ill into heaven, like, well, heaven's great, but I'm just, oh, it's not really for me. It's not really comfortable for me. Luke 16:25, Abraham tells the rich man's son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things while Lazarus received bad things, but now he is comforted here and you are in agony. We are designed to be the most comfortable in God's presence, in relationship with him where he is. The entire plan of salvation that God came up with before the foundation of the world was to get you back to where he designed you to work and function best, which is in a perfect relationship with him. When were Adam and Eve the happiest in their whole lives? I guarantee you they looked back on the time when they were in the garden walking with God as their favorite times in their lives. And they probably spent every waking moment after they lost that desperately trying to get that back. Heaven is also a place of permanence. There's not going to be any more wandering, no more tabernacling here and there. Growing up as a preacher's kid, it was almost like a military lifestyle. We would go 5 years here, 5 years there, 5 years here, 5 years there, and we were just constantly moving, and there was never a feeling of being settled. And for whatever reason, I have decided to continue that lifestyle into my adulthood, and we move all the time. And I'm tired of moving. I want to be settled, and I want to be in one place, and I want to lay down foundations that are sure for the rest of my life. But even if that is not what God has for me, even if that's not the path he has for my family, I know that ultimately I am going to get to a place, and I'm going to be there, and it's not going to end. I can't really comprehend eternity. That's not something I have the ability to do on a regular basis. Every once in a while, I feel like I get a little glimpse of it. Now and then, it's just like that's what every day will be like. Just no night, all day, every day. And that's what I want. I want that. I want to be there with God, knowing that I never have to leave his presence. It's not like a super long vacation. It's a forever. It's a staycation. I hate that word so much. So over the course of my life, I have wanted heaven to be a large variety of things. And as we go through this list, you'll kind of see a picture of my maturity in Christ from the time I was young until now. But maybe you have wanted heaven to be things as well. Probably not these things when you see them. But there are probably things that you have pictured in your mind that heaven would be. I first wanted it to be a place with video games. As soon as I was baptized, I thought, this is going to be awesome, and heaven's going to be great. But if God is truly a loving God who wants me to be happy for the rest of eternity, how can he not have video games of some kind or another? I wasn't picky. I was hoping for Super Nintendo, but it was okay if it was something different. Then I wanted it to be a place with barbecue, particularly a place with pulled pork. Because again, I couldn't imagine that God would create pigs, make them delicious, and then not let me experience them for eternity with some sauce. Then I wanted it to be, as I got into my teenage years, a place with attractive women. And the idea of us being kind of spirits and kind of floaty cloud glowy beings that I had in my head was not attractive to me. I thought, well, I mean, we should be able to see like each other, like attractively. That's changed. Then I got into college and I started going to devotionals at Florida College all the time. And I was learning new songs that I had never heard before because I had lived my entire life on the West Coast. And now these were songs that people had been singing on the East Coast. And I was teaching them new songs that I had learned at camp on the West Coast. And it was just this, everybody was learning new songs and there were new songbooks being written. And it was crazy. And we were singing all the time. And I was like, this is going to be heaven. Heaven is going to be us singing. Yes, 10,000 years and we've got no less days. Awesome. And I was so jazzed. And then I thought, maybe it could be optional. Maybe, like, sometimes I'm really in the mood to sing, and sometimes I'm just pretty beat, and I don't want to sing. And we sing and be happy all the time, and I'm just sometimes not happy when I'm singing. So then I thought, maybe it could be a quiet place, and there is no singing. Or if there was singing, I could be in a room where there wasn't. And at various, I've kind of gone back and forth between those last three. When I was living in Southern California, what I wanted heaven to be was the opposite of where I was, which was in just unending city for just miles and miles and miles. And so I thought, maybe if heaven is like this beautiful country-ish, idyllic place, that would be great. But at no point in there, in my desires for what heaven would be, was there anything in my mind but me. What did I want heaven to be? I would be happy with video games. I would be happy with barbecue and attractive women and singing or not, and a respite from the place where I was. But turn over to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians 3 and verse 20, Paul says, "But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him to subject all things to himself." And then look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 1. For we know that if the tent that is our earthly home is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling, if indeed by putting it on we may not be found naked. For while we are still in this tent, we groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. We see lots of descriptions in the Bible for what heaven is and what heaven is going to be like. But ultimately, we don't really know. We can't really sit down and draw a picture and say, when we get to heaven, I can pretty well guarantee you that it's going to look like this. I mean, there's such a wide spectrum of belief, even from people who are professing to and trying desperately to live only by the scriptures. We have people that think that we're going to be taken up and we're going to go away and there's going to be another place somewhere else. We have people that think that we're going to be taken up, and while we're up, God's going to purge the earth with fire. It's not going to be destroyed, but it is going to be purified, and then we're all going to come back down onto a purified, perfect earth and live the way that God intended us to live in the garden. And both of those people read the same Bible and come up with that, those two very disparate ideas from the same Bible. I don't know what heaven's going to be. But I know that I'm going to have a new glorious body when I'm there that is perfectly fit for that place. And I know that it's going to be like Christ's new and glorious body. And I know that it is eternal. And I know that God is going to be there. I know that Christ is going to be there. I know that the Holy Spirit is going to be there. And I know that all of you are going to be there. And so whether we zip up for a while and then zip back, or whether it is a completely sensory-deprived place, except that I know that God is there, it does not matter to me as long as God is there. Because that is heaven. Heaven is God. Heaven is getting to be with God and knowing that you get to be with God for eternity. Let's look back at John chapter 14. It's really interesting what Jesus said here, because at the beginning here, in verse 1, he says, "Let not your hearts be troubled." But the time where he's saying this, their hearts could not have been more troubled than they were. He's already told them that Peter is going to betray him. He's already told them that one of them is going to give him up. He's made it very clear that he's going to die. And then he says, "But let not your hearts be troubled." Think about where you're at right now in your life. Probably, if you're human, there's something going on at somewhere in your life, whether it's with you personally or somebody that you love or somebody that you know. Something awful is probably happening, and your heart is probably troubled about it at some level. And if it's not now, it will be, because life can be really hard and sin is ugly and has horrible effects, and they radiate out from wherever it happens. And Jesus responds, "Don't be troubled. Don't be troubled." And then what he goes into is, for the apostles, something that they were very familiar hearing, because they had heard many, many men say this to many, many women over the course of their lives. Because this is what men said to women when they were ready to marry them. They would say, "My father has chosen you as my bride, and I am ready to marry you. But I've got to go back to my dad's house, and at my dad's house, I'm going to build us another room that is going to be just for us, because families lived together back then. And you know that I'm doing that because you know where my dad lives. I'm going to go and I'm going to build that place, and when it's ready, I'm going to come back for you." and then I'm going to take you to be with me, and we'll be there forever. And then they would sign a contract that solidified the marriage and said that it was going to happen. And the woman would carry that contract back with her to her town, where she would spend the next however many months or years preparing so that when the bridegroom came to get her, and he did not tell her when that was going to be, she was ready. She spent her time making ready while he was spending his time preparing the place for them to live. In 2 Corinthians 5:5, God says that he who has prepared for us this thing is God, who has given us his Spirit as a guarantee. So God has given us his Holy Spirit as almost like an engagement ring, so that we know that we are his, and we know that he's coming back for us. And the cool thing about engagement rings and wedding rings and all of that is that they not only help you to remember that you are taken and that you are you belong to someone else, but it also is a loud message to everyone else around you: this person is off the market. And our Spirit, the Holy Spirit being with us, tells everyone else, this person does not belong here. They belong somewhere else. They're God's, and he's coming back for them. They don't know when, but they're spending their time making ready, because when he comes back, he promises that he's going to take them to be with him forever. And so that's why and how we hunger for heaven. We hunger for heaven because God has promised us that that's where we are going to be with him, and he has promised us that he is coming back for us, so that we can have that blessed assurance that he is ours forever. There is nothing more awesome than God, and so because of that, there is nothing more awesome than heaven, because that's where he is. And so that's where I want to be. And so I bend my will and I bend my efforts to hungering after righteousness, hungering after the things of God, hungering after his wisdom, so that I can be in heaven. The hunger for heaven is the hunger for all of the rest of this. And the hunger for heaven should also extend out to everyone around us. Because if it's going to be that awesome, we should want to take everybody with us to be there. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you so much for the plan that you have, Father, to take us to be with you. Thank you so much for preparing a way so that we could go, and giving us your Son so that we would have an opportunity to be with you. Thank you for sanctifying us and justifying us so that we could stand sinless before you and enter into your peace. God, please be with us as we go throughout our lives. Help us to keep heaven at the front of our minds, and help us, Father, to share that with other people. We know that you want all men to be saved, and so, Father, we pray that we can be your agents and your ambassadors to the people around us, and that where you see fit and where we are ready, you will use us. We love you. We want to be like you. We want to be with you. Jesus, we ask you to come quickly. Spirit, we ask you to guide us. It's in the beautiful name of Christ that we pray. Amen.